Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now, though, we want to talk more draft with our buddy Sam Munson from PFF. He is the lead NFL analyst. And, Sam, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Our conversation has started and is continuing to revolve around the edge rushers. We have been getting different opinions from folks around the country, and I want to get your take on these edge rushers, specifically Dallas Turner, and then this class as a whole, because everybody just has us penciled in with Dallas Turner, and I'm not necessarily sold on that.
Yeah, I think there's a big three when it comes to edge rushers in this draft. I think it's Dallas Turner, and he's most people's number one guy. But then I think you've got Jared Verse from Florida State and Laiatu Latu from UCLA. Latu, I think, is an interesting prospect because if you didn't have any medical issues whatsoever, if we just were looking at Latu and there was a completely clean medical history and all those kinds of things, I think he's clearly the best player of the three right now. He's significantly more productive than either of the other two guys. And if you look at PFF grade and pass rush win rate and pressure rate and all those kinds of things, he's got a college resume that stacks up with guys like the Bosa brothers and Miles Garrett and Chase Young as genuinely one of the best edge rushers we've seen come into the league in years. And the only sort of downside to him would be athleticism, which I think has been overstated. And actually his combine workouts were pretty good. And PFF has a metric, a data point called PFF GAS, which is tracking data. It's in-game athleticism. And Latu's in-game athleticism has been off the charts. It's been elite. He's one of the best athletes on the field when it matters, with the pads on, between the hashes. So I think Latu is a phenomenal edge rusher prospect, but the medicals will be a concern for some teams. And then you end up with this Dallas Turner versus Jared Verse conversation where, you know, Turner is a spectacular athlete and a pretty good pass rusher. Certainly not, he's not a Trayvon Walker or a Tyree Wilson in terms of a guy that's only projection and only athleticism. He's definitely been a good player as well, but there's more of a projection with him, I think, than there is with the other two.
And Sam Munson, guys, with us, NFL draft analyst. We're talking about, Jared. Is Jared Verse just so one-dimensional that's what makes him a guy that's only worth trading down for if you're the Falcons?
No, I think Verse is an interesting composite of the other two guys, where he's incredibly powerful. He's been productive at that, but he doesn't have the range of pass rush moves that a guy like Latu has. But the ones that he has, I think, have been more productive and more successful than, say, Dallas Turner. So I think there's an interesting kind of compromise player in Jared Verse between the other two guys. But I do think that his production and his profile means he should be in that discussion at the top half of the first round.
All right, so as we talk about positions and positions that are deep in this draft, we keep getting back to corners. Who's your top corner, and who do you project will be the top corner taken off the board first?
Yeah, I think corner is a very deep position in this class. Corner is an interesting spot, though, when you start talking about draft rankings, because it's going to be different depending on the team, depending on what defense you run, what your scheme is. I don't think, and this is true for a lot of positions, but corner maybe more than any other, I think you need to sort of quantify what the team is we're going to be talking about, because each team is going to have very different rankings. I really love Terrion Arnold from Alabama. I think he's got some of the most slick movement skills, man coverage ability, the capacity to mirror receivers of any corner to come along in years. I think his ability to do that is virtually unmatched, but teams that don't run man coverage a lot are not going to have Terrion Arnold necessarily at the top of their rankings, because other corners in this class, I think, are better in off coverage or better playing zone. But again, I feel like corner is a little bit like edge rusher in terms of a top tier and then a bit of a gap. Arnold would be one of them. I think Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is definitely one of them as well. And then Nate Wiggins from Clemson would be the other guy I put into that list. I think all three of those guys are extremely good prospects and belong, you know, firmly at the top, towards the top half of the first round.
Cooper DeJean is a guy whose name comes up, but either you love him or you feel that. Yeah, I've seen some mock drafts where he goes in the top 15, others where he falls all the way down to like the Ravens at the end of the first round.
Yeah, he's got a really good profile. Like, he's been a productive college player. When he did get cleared medically a couple of weeks ago, he was able to go out there and put a good 40 time out there and good vertical and explosive measurables with the jumps as well. The only thing we didn't see from him was the change of direction stuff, the three cone, the short shuttle, that kind of thing. And as much as we have, you know, basketball highlights and that kind of thing, you do see a little bit of kind of stiffness in that change of direction from his college tape, certainly compared with a guy like Terrion Arnold. So I think that's part of the reason why you're hearing some teams or some people kind of speculate or wonder what position he plays at the next level. Like, does he really have that hip fluidity, the ability to completely change direction on a dime to be able to stay at the outside corner where he was obviously a really good player in college?
Why, in your opinion, do we see McCarthy continue to seemingly move up in this draft? When this thing first started, and I don't know where you have him, Sam, but, you know, it was like, oh, he's the fifth or sixth best quarterback. Now, all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing this guy maybe being the third quarterback taken off the board. Why?
I think there's a few things working towards this. Number one, there was this narrative right away with McCarthy that the NFL likes this guy more than college football fans and or just, you know, the public or draft analysts or journalists or, you know, beat writers, whatever. The NFL was always higher on J.J. McCarthy, and that was reported sort of immediately and has been consistent all the way through the process. So
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Part of this is those two things just bridging and meeting in the middle, right? Is everybody kind of catching up to where the NFL values this guy the more information they hear? Number two, the NFL is not necessarily working on the same time scale as everybody else. So even though the college football fans are watching this guy play all the way through the season, coaches weren't. NFL coaches weren't necessarily tied into to watching J.J. McCarthy and Jaden Daniels and, you know, Michael Penix Jr. week after week. They get to these guys in depth in the last couple of months. They've only been doing their work now. So again, we're starting to sort of figure out what those guys believe much later in the process. And then I think the final thing is, you know, we have had more information post-draft. We've had these guys in for meetings with teams, and they've, you know, been able to work them out. And there have been sort of new elements of information even post the college football season. So none of those things, I think, are giant needle movers on their own, but you start piecing them all together, I think that can move a guy's draft stock. So I think it's all of those things working in tandem, pushing him in one direction.
I've been doing all the PFF mocks, and again, your guys' analytics sometimes vary from some of the other websites we've seen out there. Talking with Sam Monson, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst. One thing we do is take the best athlete. What if, for argument's sake, Alt is there from Notre Dame? We could maybe use him as a tackle. Do you see him as a generational guy or just the best of the offensive linemen, because some of the opinions vary on him?
Yeah, I don't think he's necessarily a truly generational offensive tackle. Obviously, from a size and athleticism standpoint, he's pretty top tier. I mean, we're talking about a mammoth human being, 6'9", and this almost too big. You know, definitely a prototypical sized offensive tackle. He's really good in the run game. He's the most well-rounded of these offensive tackle prospects. And depending on what it is you're sort of focusing on, I think he could be absolutely your number one guy. But yeah, I don't think he's a really generational offensive tackle prospect, and a guy that, you know, doesn't come along that often that you have to go and prioritize him as your top pick.
We keep playing the scenario out. Sam Monson, our guest, guys, PFF lead NFL analyst here on Dukes and Bell, as we talk about the upcoming NFL draft. That if a receiver is there, depending on how these quarterbacks go in the first three or four picks or whatever, that the Falcons could pick one of these guys. And I keep saying, and Sam, tell me I'm wrong, like if it's, you know, Malik Nabers, I don't think you can pass that up. Certainly you're not passing up Marvin Harrison if he slides. I mean, so I keep saying, I don't care what the need is. If one of those guys is there, I think the Falcons have to take him.
There's definitely an argument to be made. I mean, those three guys, I think, are, number one, they're in a tier by themselves. I think there's a big gap between those three and whoever you think wide receiver four is. For most people, that's Brian Thomas Jr. You know, other people are going to have different fourth wide receivers, but there's a big gap between those first three guys and the fourth guy in this draft class. And I think any of the three would be the top wide receiver in most drafts. You know, this year, they're just all coming into the draft at the same time. But Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, either one of those guys would be the top wide receiver in almost any given draft class. So, yeah, I think there's absolutely a case to be made that if you're sitting there at eight where Atlanta is, or if he makes it past Atlanta, you know, those are elite prospects that could be the best player in the draft sitting there at the bottom of the top 10. And that's incredible value to turn down. On the other hand, this is an incredible wide receiver draft class, and the depth is ridiculous in the second and the third rounds, and that's not true for a lot of other positions. So, you know, edge rusher, for example, like we talked about the big three, and then I think there is a significant gap, and the edge rusher position just doesn't have the depth that the receiver class has this year. So if you're one of these teams that, you know, has a need and is looking at it and saying, well, yeah, but we can come back in the second or the third round and address that spot, it's easier to do that with receiver than it is some of these other positions. So I think it's definitely a fair argument to make that it's going to be tough to turn down a guy as good as Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, but it's also going to be a lot easier to get 80% of that player in the second or the third round than it is at a different position.
Just real quick, because we've got Raheem Morris here. He was part of that Rams. We were kind of enamored with how they pulled the draft off last year, because they went and found like some great picks in the third round with Byron Young and Kobe Turner. Did you guys think those guys would be that good in the third round?
I think they can be, yeah. This receiver class, I think, is, we say this every year, you know, it's the best receiver class to come along in years. And I think it keeps being true because of the college landscape and just the way the game is being played now, all the way through high school and all the way through college. So, you know, wide receivers 4 through like 15 this year, I think, are really tightly bunched. You could get guys like, you know, Xavier Leggett, Tez Walker, you know, Jermaine Burton, if he didn't have the sort of red flags off the field, Roman Wilson. There's so many of these guys that might be available in the second or the third round, all of whom could walk onto an NFL field and be really productive right away. And that continues for, you know, a real extended depth throughout this draft. So I do think that you're going to be able to get, you know, like last year, Tank Dell, right? A third-round draft pick, a guy that was able to come in and immediately make an impact to a team that looked pretty good in Houston. Obviously, Puka Nacua was was a complete outlier in terms of a fifth-round guy that was basically a league-leading level of receiver. But I do think you're going to be able to find guys like Tank Dell this year throughout the second and the third round that can come in and make a real difference to teams' offenses.
Cool.
Cannot wait. Sam, great work. Enjoy reading your stuff, and we appreciate you stopping by today. PFF lead NFL analyst. Thank you so much.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.